Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. We are always very happy to be here, and we are always very happy, especially when we are discussing matters related to business, matters related to development, matters related to international affairs, and matters that related to issues of bread and butter. Yeah, and for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, it's always very important to understand that the context of this conversation, the context of this business and economic segment, is based on economics, based on new development, based on opportunities, based on policy making, based on legal matters which are related to economic development. And yeah, this is a conversation that we engage various topics. This is a conversation also which is driven by the need to uplift, upgrade the country that we are living in, that is Namibia. It's a conversation that is motivated by the need to upgrade our country, and also the need to look at new ways on doing things. What are the new ways of doing things, particularly in terms of business? We analyze our SME. Those are small and medium enterprises. We look at events which are happening. We look at the country's ranking. We look at the financial system of the country. And we also look at various ways on how to advance national development. So, therefore, conversation of this nature are not only one-directed or one-sided conversation, but these are the conversation which also encourage or require the contribution from other people, the contribution from listeners, because you may be the expert in the conversation that we are bringing about. You may be somebody who have prior knowledge about the conversation that we are bringing about, and it's always very important to make sure that you engage with us, you contribute to the conversation, and yeah, we look at how we can advance our country. We are always saying, as long as Namibia is not where it needs to be, as long as we are the highest, we have the highest rate of unemployment in SADC region, as long as we are the second unequal country in the world in terms of economic inequality, as long as we are the country that, you know, when it's coming to financial stability, we are regarded as vulnerable. When it's coming to financial stability, we are regarded as vulnerable by Financial Action Task Force. When it's coming to issues of investment, European Union regarded us as a high-risk jurisdiction. And when it's coming to economic development in terms of international ranking, we are the only country which moved backward in the past 5 years. We moved backward in terms of economic ranking, in terms of GDP. And yeah, many other issues which we are facing in the country. However, regardless of the issues that we are facing, regardless of the challenges that we are facing, we are always making sure that this should not stop us, but motivate us to drive conversations. Motivate us to drive conversation. Motivate us to look ahead, and also motivate us to drive, issues of priority areas. So, dear listeners, after every conversation that we bring about, we are going to open the line. When you open the line, you have an opportunity to air your opinion, bring your constructive criticism, bring your other side of the conversation, because we have a good understanding to say, for us to build institutions, for us to advance our country, for us to make sure that Namibia is brought at the right standard, we need everybody's contribution, particularly the participation of young people, the participation of entrepreneurs who are the backbone of the economy, the participation of our medium business person who are the center of economic development, and also the participation of the experienced, those who work the journey, those who walk the journey, those who have faced challenges and also overcame those challenges, and also those who, you know exactly what it means to be an economic mover in Namibia. So yeah, before we go to what we have on the table today, we are always, you know, indicating to you that connect with Eagle FM Namibia, connect with us in our social media platform, connect with us on Facebook, connect with us on X, LinkedIn, and other social media platform. That is Eagle FM Namibia. Like and share our page. If you like and share our page, it would be very interesting that you'll be updated with local, regional, and international economic news. And when you are updated by that, you will be able to be a very good citizen who understands economic insight, a very good citizen who understands economic intelligence. Then in terms of making your decisions, either economic decisions in terms of business, either it's personal decision in terms of investment, in terms of planning, you will be on the right side. So connect with us, like our page, share our page, and we are always reading and looking at your comment and your contribution to the conversations. Now, on top of that, there you can also have access to our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. It's an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That is a paper that consists of economic news. That is a paper that consists of, you know, economic news, local, domestic, and international news. It consists of social developmental news, news of investment, news about opportunities, and also written articles by experts that will be able to expand your knowledge, that will be able to expand your thinking, that will be able to expand the way you do things. So subscribe to the Villager newspaper, read the Villager newspaper, like the page of the Villager newspaper. Then if you are a student of economics, if you are a researcher, you can be a parliamentary researcher, you can be a policy analyst, you can be a policymaker, you can be somebody who is an academician in the field of economics, public management, law, politics, and business, and also other related fields, either engineering or science, and you have good passion for innovation, passion for, you know, value addition, you are a right citizen and you are a right person to read the Villager newspaper. On top of that, you can also have access to our radio via an app, because there are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? We are not able to connect it to you. We are not able to be connected by the frequency. Where are you? And why at our village is no more, you know, we are no more connected to you. So the right, smart, and better way of connecting with us is by downloading our app. That is, of course, Eagle FM app. When you download our app, you have a possibility and you have access, actually. Not necessarily a possibility, but access to ongoing shows which are on air that time. And you also have access to the previous shows. That is, of course, accessing them through podcast. You access them through podcast. And when you are busy or when you miss certain programs, you can just go to podcast. When you go to podcast, you'll be able to access the previous programs. You'll be able now to have an opportunity to update yourself. And you have an opportunity now to make sure that, you know, you listen and also update your content. So if you are a researcher, you miss a program, go to podcast, download our, you can go to Play Store, download our Eagle FM app. That is an app which has the sign of an eagle. It's written Eagle FM. And when you download it, the moment you open it, it's easier for you to already listen to the programs which are on air, and it's easier for you to connect, you know, with us. And also, you find a lot of opportunities there. On top of that, we also have IMBA app. IMBA app is a simplification and a smart way of accessing your hymn book. That is, of course, your Ehangano book. You can access that book by just downloading that Imba app. If you find yourself in a situation where you do not have an Imba, where you are not able to Imba, where you are not able to sing by accessing a hard copy hymn book, you can just download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you'll be able to access your hymn book. Either it's Shiwambo, that is of course a Hangano, or Shiherero, Maimboriro, you have Afrikaans, you have Silozi, and English and other local Namibian languages. So use Imba, and Imba will make your work more easier. So dear listeners, stay tuned. We are continuing with business and economic segment, and we will come back with the conversation for today. Yes, our conversation for today is going to be linked to what is happening between South Africa and the U.S. It was indicated that United States President Donald Trump imposed 30% tariff to all South African products entering the United States market, effectively from the 1st of August 2025. We're in July. Understand that it's June, July, August. Next month, 30% tariff to all South African products entering the U.S. market. That is a regional news. It's a news which is affecting South Africa in terms of international trade. And maybe most of you are asking yourself, why is that a concern? Why is that a concern? Technically, as we are speaking, United States of America imposing 30% tariff increment to South African products, that has a direct impact in our economy. Not only because Namibia is a trading partner with South Africa, it's because Namibia is directly linked to the South African economy. And every move that South Africa is making, every pain that South Africa is making, is a pain of Namibian economy. And you agree with me that the challenges of South Africa are directly impacting the challenges of Namibia. We can be living in a different sovereign country. However, due to the nature, the structure of our economic system, South African troubles are our trouble. Now, 30% increment in terms of trade between US and South Africa, that means that when South Africa is going to make adjust its prices, then that is also going to affect Namibian economy. And now is also the right question that we need to ask ourselves. What can we do moving forward? What can we do moving forward? Because we are given 1 month. And I've been always talking at this program to say, looking at where we are standing now as a country, we do not have a clear economic game plan. You agree with me? We do not have a clear economic game plan because we are on a defensive mode. We are defending ourselves. We are not on attack. We are not growing. We are not growing in terms of real economy or real development. We are not growing on that sector. And we need to look at things that the country can do. Now, you need to ask yourself this. When South Africa, when you look at Namibia international trade statistics of May, one will be able also to realize to say, yes, that is one of positive news. When you look at international trade statistics of May 2025, you will be able to realize that after few months, it's only in May this year that in terms of international trade, Namibia made profit. That is when you look at it, Namibia made profit of 121 million. That is called trade surplus. So it is indicated that Namibia export for May 2025 stood at 11.8 billion. That is what we exported, that we sold outside the country. We show an increasement of 7.3% when compared to Namibia export earning, what we sell outside the country, the money that we make when we sell outside the country is 11.8 billion, reflecting an increment of 7.3% when compared to export recorded in April. Where import beer, what we import, what we bought in May, is only 11.7 billion. When you do this calculation, you'll be able to realize that looking at this calculation, you'll be able to realize that the export and import translate to trade surplus of 121 million. We made 121 million. That is a profit from May for the first time. So we need to go back and look at what are the factors which contributed to that increment, and what can we do better. But here is the deal. What is very interesting is that when you look at what is our trade economic region, the main export economic region of Namibia, number one, is SACCU. And what is SACCU? SACCU is South Africa. In technical term, the SACCU is South Africa. Technical term, SACCU main export is South Africa. Although you have South Africa, you have Namibia, you have Botswana, you have Lesotho, you have Eswatini. But in this case, it is indicated that 32% of Namibian goods of May were exported in South Africa. And looking at 27.2, those one were exported to BRIC, that is BRIC region without South Africa, because South Africa is already calculated in the portion of SACCU, then followed by OECD, then EU, then SADC, excluding SACCU. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself is that, yes, we made profit. We trade very well in May. However, what are the challenges that Namibia is facing? And how can, if what is said to be, what will happen? What is said to be, what is going to happen? How are we going to navigate that? Because 30% is not a joke. You can negotiate about that, but you cannot negotiate until you come to 15%. And America, in this case, when you look at the global events, it's like, I don't want to say it's a wounded bulldog, but it's a powerful trader which is faced with global pressure from geopolitics, trade. You look at the way business is being done. Look at the administration itself at home. That's why what is happening between the U.S. and South Africa must be a concern to us. It must not only be a concern to us when we talk about, you know, discussing things. Because Namibians have this thing of saying, no, you guys, you like talking about geopolitics, you like talking about international affairs, you like talking and talking. We say, look, geopolitics is what you eat every day. Geopolitics is what you eat every day because you are in a global village. And if you are not paying attention to what is happening around you, you'll be caught off guard and you have nothing to do. You'll be caught off guard and you have nothing to do. And it means the continuation of suffering. It means the continuation of suffering. So that's why we are saying, what are some of the best economic strategies that we are going to put in place? Not only to defend ourselves, but also to attack, maintain sustainability as a country. Yes, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at the United States imposing 30% tariff to all South African products which are entering the U.S. market. And we also need to look at what have happened, especially in the Stern letter that was sent to President Cyril Ramaphosa. A Stern letter in this case is... You can put it in simple terms to say it's a warning letter or a letter of grievance. It's a warning letter which is said to say Trump indicated that there must be a balance of trade. Trump indicated that there must be a balance of trade. There must be a balance of trade. And he indicated unfairness in terms of trade practices. Because why? South Africa is shifting to the east. Or South Africa is at the center of geopolitical changes. Because when you look at where South Africa is positioned in terms of trade, South Africa is the only country in Africa which is sitting at G20. And what is very interesting is that when South Africa go to G20, Africa itself as a continent also has a seat at the G20. Means that you have South Africa as a global player, then you have also a continent sitting at the same table. You understand what I'm saying? Which means that South Africa distinguish herself in terms of geopolitical positioning and also in terms of global trade. And interestingly, South Africa is the only country in the world which have tried its best to form good relations with the East and the West. And as a key player here. But Trump is seeing it. Trump is seeing it. That's why for those of you who follow, you'll be able to understand that when South African president in May, when he visited the United States of America, he was so concerned on business. He was standing on business. Although he was not happy with the treatment of Trump and also what Trump has said about trade, Trump have said also about, South African treatment of white people and all those things. But Ramaphosa was so very clear about his long-term foreign policy strategy of making sure that South Africa eat both ways. That's why now, I think the United States administration realized that they were a bit being played, or South Africa is going to gain more in both ways, because when you go to G20, South Africa was the chair. When you look at BRICS, South Africa is there. When you look at Africa, South Africa is the main player, the main economic player. When you look at SADC, South Africa is the main player. When you look at relationship of South Africa and China, it's the main player. And where is Namibia in this realignment? Namibia is just there in the corner, eating from South Africa and also feeding South Africa. We are like a young brother following big brother, where he gets food, we are also getting some food. But when the big brother is hungry, when even the big brother is being beaten, we are also suffering the consequences. Because if big brother in the economy with South Africa is imposed with 30%, we are also going to feel the pressure. Now, understand this. Look at where we are at the globe. And we are continue to speak about this thing. Look at where we are in the world. I've seen on news where some economists were speaking about being downgraded is nothing and can also be an opportunity. Yes, it could be an opportunity that you rely on donors, but ask yourself this question. For the past 35 years, we have donors in this country. We have people who are giving us aid. We have donors. We have people who are funding our projects. But are we sustainable? Are we able to stand on our own? We have people who have been helping us with consultancy in terms of our policy. We have been people who have been advising us on how to educate our people. But where are we now? What is the quality of our education in contribution to the national economic development? Because if you are saying you are an economist, And you are indicating that Namibia being downgraded to be a lower middle income country is nothing much, can also be an opportunity, because now it will require a lot of donors to fund NGOs and all those things. Come on. That is pressing poverty, and we do not want that. And being poor is not a good thing. Because if you look at where we are now, 35 years is a lot of years. We have a lot of advisors. We have a lot of donors from east, west, and everywhere. These people, they are giving us, it's like they are giving you a drug to continue following them and following them. Not really for you to be independent. They are not curing the problem. They are just curing the symptoms. Yeah, that's why, think about this, you can be a leader, you have a lot of friends. Everywhere in the world, you have a lot of friends. We have been receiving assistance, but how come until now we do not have, we are not sustainable in terms of food production? But we have partners who have best irrigation system in the world. We have partners who advance their countries from being a desert to an industrialized green, can be green economy with flourishing fruits and flourishing agriculture. But where are we now? So now, it's one thing to speak about the problem. It's another thing also to speak about the solution. As Namibian young people, as business people, as researchers, what can we do? You know, because our voice, when we are speaking, Trump cannot hear us. And we have little influence at the global forum. But the little thing that we can do is to start with ourselves, to say, what can I do as an ordinary Namibian? What can I do as a student of economics? What can I do as a student of agriculture to make sure that where we are looking, where we are going, we are contributing to this national goal? Because the 8th administration is very clear about the national priorities. The 8th administration is very clear about national priorities. You have agriculture, you have sport, you have all those sectors, mineral beneficiation of in our resources, you have value addition, you have all those key pillars. But which pillar are you taking that you can engage so that you can be self-sustaining? So as an ordinary Namibian, as an ordinary citizen, how are you, what skills do you have that can contribute to the sustainability of Namibian economy? Can be agriculture. We are seeing and I'm still waiting for, apart from what the governor have said, I'm still waiting for the government to praise what happened at King's Project. I'm still waiting for those praises, and I'm still waiting for more of projects of the same nature to come on board, because with the moment we start to be independent, we'll be less focused on whatever happened outside can affect us, but we can maintain. Because if until now we cannot feed ourselves, until now where we are, we cannot feed ourselves, we depend on what is coming in the country. With our little population of not even the population of Pretoria, we cannot feed ourselves. Then we need to rethink. We need to go to the drawing board. And we need also to see what can we do so that at least Namibia will not be much concerned about what's happening. Because a good lesson you can learn is from a country like Iran. Iran is a country which has proven to the world that the solution to your problems are not necessarily from outside, but they can come from within. I'm not saying we should develop ballistic missiles. I'm not going there. I'm talking about self-sustainability. Iran suffered a lot of challenges in the Middle East, sanctions, war, chemical weapons, but they look, instead of looking outside, they look upon themselves to say, What can we do as Iranian people? What can we do as Iranian people to sustain ourselves, to build our economy, not to depend on people, to strategically position ourselves, to develop our research, and also to advance our infrastructure and also education of our people? Because you can agree and disagree with me. When you look at the Middle East, even the Western people have admitted that Iranian produced the best diplomats in the world. These are the guys who have been winning debates at the United Nations. These are the guys who have been, winning debates at an international forum. Best diplomats. Most of these guys have PhDs, but not only PhDs, them of qualification, but knowing exactly what they want. When you look at Iran's School of International Relations Strategic Studies, which in most cases is headed by the deputy foreign minister, you will be able to realize that these people were very clear about what they need at home and what they get from outside, then how to advance their economy. So sometimes lessons can be learned from far. Sometimes lessons can be learned from far, and we'll be able to incorporate that in our national development agenda. Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are looking at how we can protect ourselves from international changes, particularly in terms of trade. Our conversation is motivated by the fact that United States imposed 30% tariff to all the goods from South Africa which are entering the US market. And South Africa is our big brother, Namibia being a small brother in terms of the economy and also dependency. We are also asking ourselves, how is this going to impact us? And how are we going to protect ourselves? Because there's no tough moment in the history of Bank of Namibia than this year. And I think it's also a right time to look at other alternatives, particularly looking at solutions from inside. Because looking at the current problems that we have in the country, looking at the budget that we have in the country, it's always very important to make sure that comparing this year's budget with previous term's budget or last year's budget, you'll be able to see that, there's not much difference. There's not much difference. 6 billion difference is a lot of money to look at, but there's not much difference. And I want to indicate that it requires more than political pronunciation. It requires more than signing of documents. It requires more than, speeches. Yes, it requires more than speeches to get where we want. Because look at what South Africa export to US. Precious stone. These precious stones include diamond. You also have vehicle parts. You also have steel. You have aluminium products and organic chemicals. Then you also have iron and steel. Then you also now have to compare to what Namibia exports to South Africa. Because majority of our exports are in SACU, mainly South Africa. And then you look at what is so very interesting is also looking at what Namibia is importing from South Africa, and how this is going to impact the development of Namibia, and also how it's going to impact us moving forward. One of the things that you cannot deny that Namibia is importing from South Africa is electricity, complementing to what we are producing inside from waterfall, from coal, and also what we are exporting from other countries is electricity. And this electricity is being bought in what? in the US currency. Very expensive. And just to remind you, the tariffs which were imposed, which is more than 3%, is now effective. Yeah, ECB confirmed that the tariff of electricity is now effective. Look at how much you are charged when you are buying electricity from today on. And also start to think about beyond what is in the kitchen of our house. Start to think about that, because tariff is already in post. And that is what it is. Now, if you look at, if you compare that trade mechanized statistics of May, then you also look at, you just want to get the picture of how is Namibia surviving in terms of trade. Look at the import. One of the charts that you need to look at is import by mode of transport. What transport are we using when we are importing? Why are we concerned about transport? We are concerned about transport because the mode of transport that you are using depends on the distance that you are traveling. You understand what I'm saying? Because the mode of transport that you are using in terms of importing and export depends on the distance. You can't use a plane to trade or to transport your goods between Oshakati and Ndongo, or between Okahanja and Venduka. That is a different thing. Now, when you look at the trade statistics of May, then you look at the mode of transportation, compare it to the export destination, you'll be able to realize that 62.7% of import that Namibia has is by road. And when you are importing by road, this we talk about either using a car and trucks. This obviously means what? South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, surrounding countries, Mozambique, but mainly South Africa. It means that we are linked. We import nearby. We are linked. Then 31.4% is by sea. Yeah, these are shipment. They can come from anywhere. You can think about the petroleum, you know, products. You can think about vehicles from China, Japan. You can think about that. And just by air, which is longer distance, just 5.9%. But I want you to concentrate on transportation via road. The demonstration of transportation via road, which is majority of the modes of transport in terms of importing in Namibia, it automatically means you are depending more from the neighbor. You are depending more from the neighbor. So that's why now we need to look at what can we do as a country? What can we do as a country to prepare ourselves? Not only to be on a defensive mode, but to practically apply what is necessary to make our economy survive. Because, and I will continue to say this, you can agree or disagree with me, the best government that we have now, compared to the numbers of problems that we are facing in the country, they will not solve all our problems. Yes, that can be a political statement that they are the Messiah, they are here, but they will not solve all our problems. We need to do more than that. Yes, the state can direct development at some point, but cannot necessarily solve all our problems. Because too much expectation from them, pronouncement beyond what they can chew. That's why now is a time now where we need to look beyond that. What can private sector do? What can academia do? Yeah, because one of the problems that we have in Namibia, especially when it's coming to driving or driving national priority areas or integrating national strategic objectives to our internal plans is that we lack coordination, because if you look at, if I'm not mistaken, it's 2022 African peer review mechanism report, which indicated that the problem with Namibia, particularly in terms of governance, which direct the development, is that this lack of coordination among institutions. There's lack of coordination among institutions. You have institutions which are supposed to work together, but everyone is doing their own role. Everyone is doing their own role. That's why maybe combination of ministry like Minister of Education aiming to bridge that gap. But something should be done beyond that, because we have a lot of institutions which are doing exactly the same job, which are not talking. Sometimes they do not even know each other. It's up to you to go and look at them. I do not want to mention names, because lack of coordination between institutions, ministries. Look at our education system. I'm always giving an example of UNAM. I like criticizing UNAM because they can't do anything to me, because they are the one who gave me education, and it's my right also to criticize them. Because how come on earth, UNAM, you are not coordinating with the Minister of Basic Education, previous Minister of Basic Education? You are confusing us. Who did not communicate? Somebody producing a curriculum. In that curriculum, you produce learners. And then institution of higher learning say, no, it's not going to happen, that one. You guys are not qualified and you're not coming to me. Which I understand. Because when you listen to the pronunciation of Professor Matengu, which indicates that the university is not just something that you can enter. University doesn't have something that you can enter like that. You need some certain level of quality. But maybe the question that you're asking, were these stakeholders not sitting in the same table when the curriculum was revised, or it was revised under one office? Now, looking at the broader picture now, like the economic part where we are facing. We spoke about grey listing. Now, this is where the economists can also come and also clarify it to me. We are at a position, we are at a critical juncture in this point in time. At a very critical juncture, because you are downgraded. Then one economist is saying, okay, if you are downgraded, it also means that you are at a level where you were supposed to be, which means that now aid donors can still come and assist NGOs to drive development. That is one argument. However, even though you are downgraded to lower middle income country, you have a situation where your financial system is not stable. You have a situation where your financial system is not stable, where money can be lost anyhow, where money can just be lost like that, where crimes of money laundering are still yet not finalized, which make us to be in that grey listing, where there's no proper coordination between investigation institutions when it's coming to money laundering, where just recently, and it's not a good thing, and I'm also questioning, is it the law or is the system, or what can be done when a bank of Namibia just lost a case, a whole central bank, We must be very clear about this, because somebody made the joke to say, when the former minister of justice lost the case against her employee, it's questionable, because you are supposed to be, if you are trusted to be in charge of that ministry. Yes, you are human being, you can make mistakes on technicality and all those things, but losing a case against an ordinary lawyer, something which requires you to be questioned. But if our own bank, which is supposed to protect us, BON, lost a case against a general from DRC who transferred money from the US and all those things, then they froze the money, they went to court, the court declared, so no, give somebody this person's money. You did not follow the right procedure, give this person's money. Then if our own bank, which was supposed to guard the financial system of Namibia, can lose the case, who am I, an ordinary James? Who am I, an ordinary David, to, you know, to budge an inch when issues of financial stability are being spoken about, issues of money laundering are being spoken about? Because if you are not pulling up our socks, if you are not pulling up our socks and we see things which are happening, then, my dear friend, we are on our own, and we need to do more than that. Because remember, I was very happy about what was happening at... I was very happy about the development of Ninda from the beginning of this year until I heard what is being said and is being presented. Until I see what is being presented, I was very happy about the progress. I was very happy about the new leadership. Then things started to be uncovered. An institution which, after 6 years without producing a financial, an audited financial statement, did that. An institution which produced integrated strategic plan based on public enterprise government act, PENGA Act, as established by law, and report to the line ministry, which by then Ministry of Finance and also Trade. That was a very bold move. An institution which promised us by 2030 creation of 35,000 jobs. Just not a week ago, the CEO was fired. Now you're asking yourself to say, now the captain of the ship is fired, we have an integrated strategic plan. What will happen to this institution? What will happen to this, all the resources which are posed in that institution? Is it going to be integrated into the ministry? Are you going to have a new leadership? Or what will happen? Because we have a right to ask, to say, what will happen to that institution like NIDA? What happened to that 35,000 jobs? Because we must hold our people accountable to say, no, this is a strategic plan. There is an integrated strategic plan which is saying 35,000 jobs by 2030. And some of us, we are willing to wait to see what would happen. Now things are stuck as we are speaking, and a lot of money is being spent. And when we spoke about this, to say Namibia, especially us, I like speaking about young people because it's my sector, and this is the generation which I know much because I'm part of the young people. To say we are faced with a lot of challenges that we are facing in the street, at home, and everywhere, but the big boys are fighting in the boardrooms. You know how much Namco lost in those battles? Go and Google how much Namco lost in the battle, in the battles of the big boys, when the board and the MD are fighting. How much money was lost? What could have been done with that money? How many deals went unsigned because of those battles? So I think, looking at the situation of South Africa and the US, I think it's the right time now as Namibians to relook at ourselves, because preaching is one thing, but acting is what is very important, because we need to act. At the end of the day, we must act. At the end of the day, we must act. And actions means that starting with ourselves. What can I do to contribute to those 8th administration's national priorities? And how can I assist? Either you are an artist, either you are a thinker, either you are a practical person, you have vocational training, a graduate, the backbone of this economy. What can you do to make sure that when times of trouble come, because trouble did not yet come, when the time of trouble comes, especially related to trade, related to the development, related to expansion of the population, because population continue to expand. Because Windhoek, like what we are speaking now, I have been telling people this to say, the population of Windhoek, not only in Windhoek, but in the country, continue to expand. Windhoek population continue to grow exponentially with more than 3% every year. Now, when you talk about 3%, we talk about 3% of what is of what it is. Because now, as we are standing now, we are at 500,000. And we are continuing to grow. Now, where is our country going and what can young people do? Do we need just coordination of institutions, or we need to do more than that? So, let's compare what's happening to countries like Kenya now. Let's look at what is happening. A new guy came to power, Ruto, speaking about, you know, being a son of a hustler, and speaking about, you know, uniting Kenya, speaking about economic development, and speaking about not having a barren line of president, and also a son of a poor person from poverty to presidency, and brought a lot of things, spoke strongly about financial system, spoke strongly about uprooting corruption, spoke strongly about climate change. But what is happening now in Kenya? It's never happened in the history of Kenya. And we should learn from that, and we'll see how we can protect our country from those unfortunate events by making sure that priority areas are put in place and young people are being part. So dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And see you next time, same time, same place. Bye-bye.